Guys, I want to thank you for letting me have some time away with my wife. We had a wedding last week, and it rained a lot, so I was able to kind of relax and read some. And this book that Jeff let me borrow, and my Bible, and then my thoughts. It's kind of nice to think things through and not have a whole lot going on. All you have to worry about what the next meal is, and it's a hot dog usually. But I was wondering about where we're going as a church. I've told you guys I don't know what it looks like. I don't know exactly where we're headed. I'm just, feels good to be headed there, wherever it's at. And I read this place, and I think it describes where we're going. And Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus walks in the temple, and they hand him a scroll. And he looks at the people at the temple, and he says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty to those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Where we're going is that. I know that one of our main objectives here at North Point is to lead people to Christ, that we should want to see people saved, and we do want to see people saved. But I wonder if we were to become that church, that if the supernatural would become normal here. I believe that the supernatural has to become normal for the life of the church. And I wonder, I work at Ace now, and I deal with contractors and carpenters. And I would look at the Higgins guys coming in and this week, and I would see a lot of the guys coming. They're just carpenters. Some of you guys are carpenters here. And I wondered about Jesus. You see, when he walked into that temple, he was dressed like a carpenter, because that's what he was. I wondered what would happen if somebody came in here dressed like a carpenter. The ones I see during the week, you know, holy jeans and their T-shirts, and some things you may not agree with that's on their T-shirts. Muddy shoes. I'm sure it would be the same thing if Jesus was to walk into church today. Maybe not ours, but yeah, some people would think it. Because we were brought up, you're supposed to wear your best to the church. I was even told it was in Scripture, but I've never seen it. Some people would say, you could do better than that, you old carpenter. I think that because when Jesus walked in, I think that some people would fall out and be healed just because of his presence. I think that husbands and wives would probably begin to apologize to one another for their behavior on the way there this morning. I think that some, you would even hear voices telling him to get out of there. Because I'm going to tell you something, guys. We live in a demonic world. Yes. And they're here. But I believe by the end, before he got to the aisle, before he got to the altar, those demons would have flew out of there, because they can't be in the presence of light. I believe we're headed to the supernatural place that we need to be. That we need to be. Jesus said he came for those reasons. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You ask me where we're going. I believe that's where. I believe that's where. What's it going to look like? I don't know. I don't know. But I just want to be there. And I realize it may be uncomfortable for some of you. Just hang on, though. Amen. Just hang on. It'll be all right. I'm going to finish this up. I just had to say that. It's not really part of the sermon yet. It might be one of these days, but not today. I'm really excited about things. I've heard all kinds of things that happened Friday night. I got to reading this book, and I forgot. I got home, was reading this book, and forgot about Glow Friday night. Y'all didn't need me here. The Holy Spirit was here. I heard. Yeah, Huggy Bear. Uh-oh, somebody put a check in here. I believe that goes in the hat. Oh. Isn't that neat? It is so neat. All right. It's the top of your outlines. If you're visiting here, we're in a series about seeking God for a breakthrough in our lives. That's why I wanted to share you guys my breakthrough. We've had a bunch of them in the Pinkard family. That's just one of them, and I'll tell you a little more about what we're going to wind up doing. Not Pinkard's, but this is the church. But seeking God for a breakthrough, we're in part five of this thing. We're, as a church, that's what we're doing. We have fasted for a couple of Mondays. We've had a couple of solemn assemblies. I'm looking forward to some more. Miss Elizabeth has ordered us four chalices that match. We serious now, God. Our chalices match. We started off. Y'all don't tell her I made fun of that. But anyway, thanking God in advance for your breakthrough. Mark 11:24, Jesus said this: anytime you ask for anything in prayer, believe that you have received it and you will receive it. If we thank God in advance, we talked about this last week. You can get those CDs. You can go on Stitcher and check out the previous messages. I also heard Demetrius did a wonderful job last week, and I've got to listen to it. But thanking him after he gives you something's called gratitude. Thanking him before he gives it is called faith. And it takes both gratitude and faith when we're seeking God for a breakthrough. Now, when I say seeking God from a breakthrough, do y'all remember? This is different from a normal prayer. It's different. Second, and if you got your Bibles with you, go ahead and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to be in there today. And I'm going to read out of 1 through 5. I've got it in your outline. It says, after this, three enemy nations united to attack King Jehoshaphat. Spies told him, a huge combined army is marching to Jerusalem right now to defeat you. Scared and worried, King Jehoshaphat resolved to seek the Lord. And he announced a nationwide fast. So everyone came together to fast and pray and seek help from God. When they all got to the temple in Jerusalem, the king stood up and he prayed aloud. So there's where we're at. We're a couple of weeks ago and this week, we were going to talk about how to pray for a breakthrough. And remember, the first thing I said, we only talked about a couple, is the first thing you do is you start by focusing on God and not your problem. You focus on God and not your problem. Because the thing I wanted you to write down, I hope you remember, is this, is the bigger God gets in your mind, the smaller your problem becomes. Hey, Courtney. There's Courtney over. I just squirreled, didn't I? The bigger God gets in your mind, the smaller the problem becomes. You're leading that group to Belize too, right? All right. I'll get off Courtney now. And the second thing was tell God, I can't do this. I need you to do this. And what I mean by that is, you know, a lot of times we pray, God, I need your help. I need your strength. I need your wisdom. You know, I need your patience. You know, This is a breakthrough prayer. I can't do this. I just can't do it. I need you to do it. And because you know, you're not praying for that. You don't have to be powerful. Not when you're connected to God. You don't have to be smart when you're connected to God. You don't even have to be patient when you're connected to God. I never pray for patience anymore. It didn't take me but one time to learn that. Don't be asking for no patience. God, I'm good. I'm good with patience. But anyway, so now we're number three. If you got your pen, pencils, write this down. Number three, how to pray for a breakthrough is this. Listen to what God says. Listen to what God says. The reason why I say that is because prayer is a conversation. It's not a monologue. Prayer is not doing all the talking. I want to tell you something just to kind of help you out and relieve you. You ain't got to talk all the time. You know, because somebody says, how do you pray for 5 minutes? You know, shut up. And kind of listen, you know. but a person who talks all the time, it's a monologue. It's not really a conversation. Think about this. You can't build a friendship if you do all the talking, can you? I don't want to be your friend. We got to listen sometimes. You got to spend some time listening to God. Well, how do you do that? With this. This book. Is how you do that. You just read the book. This book is filled with what God wants to say to you. You know, he wants to say, it's already there. Everything that he needs and wants and desires to say to you is already right here. It's already right here. God ain't going to write it in the sky. So he's already written it in a book. So I guess what I'm trying to tell you is, stop looking for a sign. Look for a scripture. Stop waiting on a vision and get hold of a verse. Amen? It's here. What he wants to tell you is right here. So God's will. You want to know God's will for your life? Get in God's word. That's where you're going to find it. The more you read this book, the more you're going to know what to do. Don't come to me and say, Jim, what do you think I should do? Because you know what I'm going to say? Read the book. That's where you're going to know it. I can't tell you what to do. The book tells you what to do. Look at 2 Chronicles 20:15. I want to tell you what God says to these bunch of scared guys that's came to him in a breakthrough prayer. He says this. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. He wants to calm them down a little bit. He says, I know we got a vast army coming to you. He says, don't be afraid. For the battle is not yours, but God's. You won't need to fight in this battle. Just take up your position and stand strong. Then just wait and watch, and you will see the Lord deliver you. Again, do not be afraid or get discouraged because the Lord is with you. Then the king and everyone else all bowed down on the ground and worshiped God. These guys were in an uncontrollable crisis. That's a nice word for what they were in. We call it something else in Rockmart. So they prayed. They had a breakthrough prayer. And God said, just relax. This is a breakthrough prayer. And I'm telling you guys, when you pray like these guys did, you're going to get a breakthrough. And so let's write these things down that what God said about their breakthrough, because he's saying it about your breakthrough too. There's four little blanks I want you to fill in, A, B, C, and D. But the very first thing he tells them, and he's telling you too, is this: relax. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. He says, you can chill. He's saying, I'm bigger than any army coming up against you. Guys, he's saying, I'm bigger than any problem that's coming up against you. He's bigger. So just relax. Then the second thing is this. I love this. It's my battle and I'll handle it. It's God's battle. He's saying whatever's coming up against you, whatever's making you shake in your boots, whatever's got you cornered, he's saying relax. It's my battle. I'll handle it. See, guys, the battle is not yours. It is God's. You want to know why you're frustrated? You know why you're stressed out all the time? You know why you're just worn out by life? You know why? Because you're trying to fight battles that belong to God. You are trying to fight them. And let me tell you something. You ain't God. You ain't God. You know, the battle is not yours. He says, you're my child. I'll take care of you. You know what one thing us dads do? We still love to protect our children. And God loves to protect you. But here we are, in many ways, we're assuming God's role and trying to fight this battle that belongs to Him. And we're banging our head against a wall to solve problems that's not ours. Whether it's our family, whether it's our kids, whether it's our church, whether it's our job, our health, and we're just worn out. You ever feel like giving up? Sure you do. You're in over your head. It is not your battle. You might as well just go ahead and go to God and say, I've messed up. That's what I did. I went to God before and said this, God, I've let you down. You ever done that? You know what my spirit told me? That God said to me, He said, you didn't let me down, Jim. You weren't holding me up. You were not holding me up. Just when I thought I had God in my hands. If you think you got God in your hands, it ain't God. He's too big. You can't control Him. I want to tell you, I don't know who it is. I told the 8 o'clock service, you need to hear this right here. God is not disappointed in you because He is not expecting you to do what only He can do. He is not disappointed in you because you cannot do what He is not expecting you to do. He's the only one that can do it. So are you tired of just trying to hold the world up? And just do everything. So in what area of your life have you been trying to do it alone? In what area of your life have you been trying to hold the world up? Is it your job? Is it your marriage? Is it your health? It may be time that you go to Him and say something like I did one time. God, I give up. You know what He's going to say? Great. Now we can get something done. You're getting out of the way. Because what He's saying is, give up the battle because it ain't yours anyway. It's His battle. Third thing is this, real quick. Keep serving in your position. This verse tells us to stand in our position, get in our position, and stand strong. He didn't say go home and light a fire and watch TV. But He didn't also say go fight them. He said, get in your position and stand strong. And that's going to take an enormous amount of faith. But I'm going to tell you something. We're to keep serving because a non-serving Christian is a contradiction. Y'all get me on that? And a bunch of you guys are non-serving, and that's a contradiction. A non-serving Christian is a contradiction. God has something for you in ministry. Every last dab one of you. Every one of you, there's something that He wants you to do, and if you don't do it, it's going to just go undone. I'm going to say it one more time. A non-serving Christian is a contradiction. Whew. Keep serving while you stand strong. Number four, I better get off that. Everyone would be mad. Wait and watch what God does. Wait and watch what God does. This is the strangest, most bizarre battle in history. I mean, He says you won't need to fight in this battle. He said just take your position and stand strong. And then He just says wait and watch and you will see the Lord deliver you. Ain't that something? That's a strange. Not you won't deliver it yourself. He says, don't be afraid or discouraged. I'm going to give you a little trivia right here. I love this passage right here because this is something I found out this week. This is the very middle of the Old Testament. That's not a coincidence. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. The Lord will deliver you. The battle is not yours. Very middle. Amen? That's something, man. You say, oh, Jim's smart. No, he ain't. He read it. I remembered it, but he read it. So I'm going to tell you, if you're here and you're today and you think it's all up to you, and you've been going at this battle all your own, and you've been fighting it, and you can resign as general manager of the universe. You can resign today. The world is not going to fall apart. You don't even need to move. He said, stand strong. And let me tell you, first of all, you ain't got to manipulate him either. You ain't got to help God. You ain't got to pray and then get up and start manipulating things for him to work. Let God be God. You ain't God. I met some of you guys in the last 2 weeks. I went through this. Some of you guys think if you just move out of town, or if you just go to the beach, that all your problems will be different. If you head to the mountains, that all your problems are going to be different. That if you can just go sit beside a creek, that there'll be no stress. Well, the problem is when you go to the beach, or when you go to the creek, or when you go to the mountains, you take you. You take you. And so you I love this saying right here. I don't know if it comes from Rottmeyer or where it is, but this is what it says. Stress is not in the air. The stress is between your ears. That's where the stress is at, and you're taking what's in between your ears wherever you go. For some of you, tell me, you know, just life stinks, and I need to move. I need something. I'm going to tell you what, I believe you're here today because you're exactly where you need to be. I have prayed for you for going into this series, and I believe everyone needs to be in church every Sunday. Because that, going back to Luke 4:18, because you're going to know how to handle these situations that's come, these life difficult situations, these battles that ain't yours anyway. Sometimes you're going to need to be reminded of that from week to week. Because we all face difficult situations, don't we? Almost every day. Here's what I'm going to tell you here. You can write this down. Put it on your sock. I don't know where that come from. Where did that come from?
Hey, I remember that.
It is never God's will for me to run from a difficult situation. It is never God's will for me to run from a difficult situation. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you run, you're going to face it again somewhere else. And typically, when you run from a bad relationship, guess what else? You wind up with another bad relationship. It's just like the same thing. Just like it. Just like it. Don't run. God is sufficient. No worries. Amen? Stand strong. I mean, really, has God ever lost a battle? No. Throughout all history. No. We might lose a few. But God's never lost one. And if God is fighting for you, who can be against you? Seriously? Now, that's scripture. Wearing a tuxedo to church ain't. Amen? How do I stand strong? Well, you put your faith in God. How do you put your faith in God? Through his prophets and his word. Through his prophets and his word. His prophets and his word equals success and stability. Success and stability. That's what you're going to find. The more you're in the book, the more you're going to succeed in life. The more you get to know God's character. See, God's character is unwavering. And he don't go back on his promises. And the more you know his Bible, the more stable that you're going to be. I meet unstable people, they ain't cracked that book in a long time. I can tell right off. I can tell right off. Number four, real quick. I'm making my way through here. Thank God in advance for the answer. We finally got there. We got to thank God in advance. Because this is an unusual battle strategy. I mean, General Patton would have fainted on this battle. Let me read you this battle strategy. It's on the back side. Then the king, just imagine if you'd have told George S. Patton this. Then the king appointed musicians and singers in their choir robes to march in front of the army and loudly praise and thank the Lord. This is what they sang. We thank God. His love never quits. His love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Can you imagine that? Three armies and somebody singing like that? Maybe not exactly like that. But this is, I mean, a lot of you guys were in the military. This is a bizarre way to organize an army. Can you imagine what those three enemies looked and said? Them boys got a flute. And them boys got a harp. And I got a sword. What are they going to do? But what this is, it's a metaphor that they thank God in advance for the victory. We're going to win. Because let me tell you something about prayer and praise. What these guys do up here and sing. Prayer and praise is verbalized faith. That's what it is. It's verbalized faith. Isn't that something? I mean, that's what it is. You're thanking God for taking care of these conflicts that are coming. 2 Chronicles 20, I love this one too. At the moment they began to sing and to praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to begin fighting among themselves, and they destroyed each other. Can you imagine? These guys put the choir before the army, and the enemy didn't know what was going on. They suspected the army, and here comes the choir. They start arguing about it, killed each other. Isn't that crazy? And it's just crazy. Here comes the choir. They didn't even lift a finger. Killed them with a flute. I mean, it is just crazy. Thanking God in advance. So I want to ask you, when will you thank God in advance for your breakthrough? When will you start thanking Him? Thank Him before. You've just been begging all these years, and God wants to say yes, but He's waiting on me and you to have some faith that it will happen. So I'm asking you today, when are you going to put the choir before the army? And what your breakthrough is? When are you going to sing? And you ain't got to have a, you just got to make a joyful noise. Even a hog does that when he's eating. He makes a joyful noise. Some of you guys, I ain't the only one that sings bad. Some of you guys are prison singers. Y'all know what a prison singer is? You behind a few bars and you ain't got the right key, amen? But I'm ready. Y'all give me a week off and I'm on like Donkey Kong. Number five is this. Expect God to turn battles into blessings. That's how it is. Expect God to turn battles into blessings. Let's look what happens in this next verse when you do that. When the army of Judah finally arrived at the battleground, the valley was covered with dead bodies as far as they could see. No one survived. So they went out to gather the plunder, and they found huge amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry back. I love this because they use the word loot. I like loot. In fact, there was so much loot, it took 3 days to collect it all. On the fourth day, they gathered for a worship service in the valley, which they named the Valley of Barakah, because the people had thanked and praised God there. Valley of Barakah means the valley of blessing. And that's where God wants me and you to live. It's about this abundant life we keep talking to you about. That Jesus said, I came to give. That He wants us to be in this valley of blessing, not a valley of battles. He wants us to be blessed. He wants to bless us so much it takes 3 days to carry all the loot. Amen? All the loot. Say it with me again. That's a good word. Loot. Loot. That ain't from God. My mind went, what does that remind? What does that rhyme with? Flute. And I know it reminds something else. And some of you guys are thinking about something else. Don't be doing that. Where we at? I done got messed up. Let me tell you something about three results of a breakthrough prayer that was shared in this real quick. Now I'm winding down. I promise you. Three results of a breakthrough prayer is, as you talk about that loot, is number one, you get more blessings than you can handle. You get more blessings than you'll handle. And you'll know when you get a breakthrough, because there's not a coincidence that only God could do this. You'll know when it's a breakthrough prayer. And that's what we're praying for here at North Point Church. And the second thing, the result of breakthrough prayer, is you're going to want to love God more, and you're going to want to worship Him more. That's going to be a result of it. You know, when you realize that, you're going to come to the point where, gosh, you know what? God loves me a lot. God loves me a lot, and you're going to want to love Him. Let me read you verse 27 out of that, 2 Chronicles. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat at their head, returning to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. I'm going to tell you something, guys. We had a couple of solemn assemblies, and we're going to have some more, but according to this, we're going to party too. At the end of this series, we're going to get together, and we're going to share each other's breakthroughs. Amen? Just one Sunday night, we're going to come up, we're going to share some breakthroughs, we're going to party. I mean, we're going to have a good time. Bring harps and flutes and gather the loot. But we're gonna party. The third thing is this. This is really important as a result of a breakthrough prayer is this. Unbelievers start noticing. It's important. They see a change in us. Unbelievers start noticing. They say, gosh, Derek and Sheila got the same problems we got, but they sure are handling a lot better. They got the same problem. And unbelievers going to look and say, man, their kid's a lot worse than mine. But they're sane. They're going to start noticing the difference in you. They're going to start noticing the difference in you. When you begin to listen to God and trust in faith and thank Him in advance, you're going to see a difference in your life. But more important, unbelievers are going to see a difference in your life. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you get blessed by God, He gets honored. You may get blessed, but He gets honored. And when He gets honored, unbelievers see it. When He gets honored, you become a witness. Amen? Let me read you one last verse, and I'm going to close this in prayer. Or actually two verses, the 29 and 30. I really had a good time with this one. Look what happened when I'm talking about being a witness. This is what that kingdom happened. And the fear of God came on all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. He gave him peace. I'm going to tell you so. He's coming. It's happening. It's happening. We're going to honor God. Honor God. We're going to come and sing. His love. We're not going to sing that song. It's just on my mind now. Well, I say we're. I don't know what we're going to sing. It don't matter. We're just going to sing. Amen. Gather your flutes and your harps, bagpipes. I don't care. Y'all come up and sing. I want to tell you guys. If you're still praying for a breakthrough, if you're here for the first time, you're praying for a breakthrough, I urge you. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's come down here and think about it. If Jesus the carpenter was coming down through here, stuff be jumping out of you. I'm telling you, your spirit would be filled. You wouldn't even know it. And let me tell you what else. He's here. He's here. He's here. If you want to come pray, you pray. If you want us to pray with you, me and the elders, me and somebody pray with you. You ain't got to be no elder. You just got to be willing. Heavenly Father, Lord, we welcome you here. We thank you here. We thank you for coming. And Lord, I can just see you. I can just see you. There's lots of folks that may not want you here. That's all right. You'll take care of that. But Lord, today, I guess mainly I want to come to you. And I know there's some folks here that they've got a battle going on with their health and finances and relationships or whatever. And Lord, they've been trying to fight this on their own. And Lord, today they're ready to give that up. And I know you're saying, well, it's about time. They want to honor you with their obedience. So I ask you that you give them that breakthrough that they're looking for. That you open doors where they've been closed. They hadn't been able to open them themselves. But you opened them. I pray that folks' relationships begin to heal. And I pray that they stop hiding from their pain. That they stop moving and going in different directions. And some of them have even swapped churches. But the stress is still there. That the stress is not in the air that they breathe, but it's between their ears. And I pray that they get to know you and love you more. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.